feet fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken to them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For these people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their ears and hear with their eyes, understand with their heart, and turn, and I would hear them. But blessed are you, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown in their hearts. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. They have no proof. They last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they can complain. Seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word. Seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30. Please keep that passage open. I'm referring to it. What should we expect when we tell people about Jesus in our weekly groups? There is Lizzie Smallwood, who used to live in England. She's on our video that's coming out this week in our programs this week, teaching us about having meaningful connections. Week by week, our evening programs we're thinking, how can we do that to make a connection? We're telling them the news of Jesus. I thought I'd like to have a question about a face. Let's do that. It's a reminder of our weekly groups. This week she's talking about making connections. She makes a couple of references to the Dragon. So come along and see it. But what should we expect? Next week our friendship team are going door-to-door. What should they expect? What should they expect? On our Thursday morning at the first step group, the ladies tell a short story from the Bible. When we get to tell someone a story of how we became a Christian, what might we expect their response to be? Jesus is going to be addressing that question in our passage today. The book of Matthew has got five big sections of teaching. The most famous is the Sermon on the Mount. This chapter 13 is one of those five sections of Matthew put together in the context of Jesus' parables. A lot of Jesus' teachings that we read in Matthew are mainly about him and his disciples and his listening to them. Because teaching this parable is to us, so it connects straight to us. What is the situation? In chapter 12, Jesus drove a demon out of the man, but people refused to commit to Jesus, or even for critical. And it was that same day, chapter 13, verse 1, that same day Jesus went out of the house. The same day that some people had attacked him verbally, saying it was by Satan that he was doing the demons. It was the same day that they shouted toward the crowds. He sat down, which is what teachers did then. Nowadays, you sit down and I stand. In this view, the teachers said, you will stand. They're all stood on this. Jesus gave them to vote. People think probably that's saying his voice was carried across the board. He didn't have a microphone. And he tells a story about a man sowing seed, not using machinery, as farmers would today, but flinging it by hand. And as he flings it, the soil falls in various forms. And according to birds, he lands, it is no crop at all, or some crop, a lot of crop. But Jesus here is teaching using ideas for everyday life. Jesus Christ has created the world, created the seasons, and every seed enables to be the range of life. He has put himself down to the human level, and is now teaching the whole world to love. It's a plain and simple story, but Jesus says it's not that straightforward. So after the story, he says in verse 9, whoever has ears, let them hear. Understand properly. It's a story that takes understanding. Now, many people think that Jesus told stories like this to make his teaching clearer, to illustrate it. But that's not what the disciples did. In verse 10, the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Now they wouldn't ask that if the stories were really simple and clear. And Jesus says that it's not to make things simple. His answer is a bit of a surprise, verse 11. That Jesus replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, so there's some knowledge, some secret information has been given to you, but not to them. Why are you telling them parables? Jesus said, because I didn't do the secrets to know them. They don't know the secrets. We know it makes sense. But the thing to note to begin with is that there are two groups. One group have been given the secrets, and one group haven't. The insiders and the outsiders. Some know, the insiders and the outsiders don't know. And this parable has an effect on those two groups. In verse 12. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance, great amount. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. He's not talking here about money or jobs or children. They will be taken from them. He's talking about how much knowledge you have in God. So those who know that you are aware of that knowledge, those who don't know, even what looks like they do know, will be taken from them. It appears that they've got a sort of religion, but it looks like they're something to do, but actually, they don't know. He describes the outsiders in verses 30 onwards. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear. And the insiders in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. So why does Jesus use parables again? Parables are meant to affect the people of the inside. It's not the knowledge of God, and it's also to affect the outside. Don't do it again. It's to give more to people who are already blessed are those who are outsiders. How do the parables affect them? Well, verse 13 again. This is why I speak to them in parables. They're seeing, they don't see. They're hearing, they don't hear or understand. It's like they see a picture, but they don't recognize what it is. They hear some words, but they don't understand the language. wonder that the disciples on the inside are clever and a bit by accident stupid. It's not that the disciples have got stability and stability on the outside that works spiritually. It's to do the heart, then to who I am, then it goes into this people's hearts have become callous. You know, they hear their ears, they close their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts. I've got to gain this explanation of the parable in 2 minutes. We talk about heart love, don't we? The heart is the love for someone who comes in. And the outside is to not love for its ways. Okay, do not commit yourself to Jesus. To have a heart. So the disciples have got a heart that is hungry for them, that wants to learn from the people. That's where the difference lies. So when Jesus is telling parables, he's not just telling some information, some facts. They are loaded information. Right, like when you're saying something and you want someone to react to what you're saying, you want to provoke a response. So if I say, if I say, today's my birthday, I don't want you to just laugh. I want you to say, happy birthday. I'm wanting a response. Exactly. Here's a more exciting thing. Yesterday, my son Jonjo said to his girlfriend, I would like to spend the rest of my life with you. Will you marry me? Now, did he want to say, oh, that's lovely. Did he go and find a coffee? You know, she, happily, she gave the positive response. And we're very excited to see her. So that's good news. Which is about the point is to say something because we're seeking a response. The parables aren't just telling us ideas. They're stories that are meant to push a reaction. But Jesus in the parable is saying, I'm the king, and this is the way my subjects will live. And if we're responding to that in our hearts, we're saying, King Jesus, I honor you, King Jesus, I want to live this way. For the people of hard hearts, so what lessons do we get from this quote from Isaiah? Jesus here is in a situation of great opposition, and he is using these teaching parables that leads his opponents further away from him. So if I've been Jesus, Son of God, I would have lost them on the planet. I would have been a great human leader. I would have organized negotiation. But he is relying on God's word, knowing that God's word is Christianity, and he's in further opposition. He's not a politician. But who would Jesus not panic to get public support for adjusting the message so that people can buy it? In fact, he expects the message to make if you don't like it, not to be less. Personal lessons for us. Do I have ears to hear? Do I have ears to hear not just ideas about God, but am I going to put my heart to be open to God? Are we going to be a church that wants to listen to the Lord, not brilliant people to be the right people to pray to God? God's word is going to change us. Parents, trusting, teaching the Bible to your children, you might not be able to do it. Bring about God's word to your children by you believing them. And I think the thing I'll be most excited about is that this week, this passage this week, God is leading with my heart. He's leading with your heart. Don't be content with churchianity. Churchianity is not Christianity. Churchianity is where you just show up on a Sunday. Growing as a Christian is not just about knowing some information and feeling some different terms. God is looking for change of character, of courage, of love, of patience, of kindness, Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away from the sower and drives them out of the harvest. This is the seed of the sower in the harvest. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and plants the seed with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, worries of this life, and the deepness of trust chokes the world, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times the soil. So, what does the parable mean? Jesus explains it. It is about God's word and the effect of it. The seed is the message of God's word. Different kinds of people hear that same message. We define people by their family, their personality, their prosperity, their lifestyle, and their body in church. Jesus defines people by their strength. So, in the first place, personality in their heart, that's where they make the choice how they will respond. These people hear the word, they maybe understand it in their minds, but they don't love it in their hearts. The next people are the people like the rocky soil on the ground, the shallow soil. They hear the message of Jesus. To begin with, they look at it, they're going to be the best crop. Then there is trouble and persecution for the people. And this happens today. Christians are not ridiculed, picked on, teased, left out of conversations, passed over for opportunities to work with their friends because they're Christians. Christians in school are told they are wrong by teachers and other diplomats. Third sort of people, verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the glories of this life and the deepness of wealth choke the word and the unfruitful. Again, they start well in their responding to God in this life, but then other things define who they are. What people think about me. Have I got the right job? So preoccupied with family concerns, work concerns that they drift away from their love. They may join the church or be enthusiastic and then stop coming because they'd rather come back to them. Or they may still come when their heart is hard. Then the last part of verse 22. People in good soil refer to someone who hears the word and understands it. Well, give up.